You know, I think one of the most, I would say, humbling as well as exciting adjectives that this defense was being compared to and described with the famed Purple People Eaters of days gone by. That is one heck of an accomplishment.
Yeah, you know, obviously this year defensively did really well. You know, it felt good to be a part of that defense, to know that every week that, you know, we were a staple on this team, that we were going to hold it down. And that's kind of our mentality defensively, is it doesn't matter what the offense or special teams does, the defense is going to go out there and we'll win the game on our own if we have to.
What made you guys so special? I mean, because you put the fear of God in most quarterbacks throughout the season.
Well, have you ever seen Everson Griffin?
Yeah. Like, yeah, up close and personal.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's scary just in general, but... I think you know, for me personally, the guys that we got up front, our front seven, our D-line linebackers, you know, they make my job a lot easier. There's times where I don't even have to do anything, and quarterback's already on. So, I think, too, just, you know, every week, coach has given us a good game plan, and every week, guys preparing, you know, like it's a Super Bowl every week, and just going in and executing. And I think that's really was our main deal this year.
I think that you could describe this group of guys on defense as the ultimate team, because there are no superstars. Yeah, you had a lot of great players that had great years, but to say, if you would paint a picture, that you would have, that this guy's a superstar, that guy's a superstar, even if he was, nobody had the diva mentality. Everybody worked like heck together to make it work.
I think our whole team's like that. We don't really have anybody that, you know, is selfish like that, that cares about the credit. Nobody cares. We just care about winning. And Coach Zim preaches to us all the time about, you know, just do your job to allow someone else to do their job, and it all fits together. You know, don't try to go outside of the scheme and do your own thing. If you just do what you're supposed to do, and that guy does what he's supposed to do, everything will work out. And that's kind of how, you know, defensively that works for us. Everyone just do what you're supposed to do. Don't try to do too much, and it'll all work out.
Let's go back. I know you were on the other side of the ball, but we got to go back and talk about the Minnesota Miracle, the game against New Orleans that got us to the NFC Championship game. Give us your range of emotion. We jumped out on them. We were kicking the living crap out of them, and then all of a sudden...
I don't want to ride that emotional roller coaster
again. Oh, man. Just one more time.
Not enough beer.
Just one more time. but it was the... You're right. It was the epitome of emotion as a player, I can say as a broadcaster. It was just unbelievable.
I didn't even sleep that night. I was up all night just because, like I said, just the emotional roller coaster from it. But, like you said, we jumped out, you know, got a good start on them. I was in the concussion protocol at the time, so I was actually in the locker room. And it's actually worse to watch the game, like, than it is to play in the game. You don't get nervous when you're in the game because you're just out there playing. You're focused on what you got to do. But if you're watching the game, it's like the worst anxiety that you could ever have because you can't do anything about it. You know, you're stuck. So I didn't even watch. They have TVs in the locker room, and I wasn't even watching. I was just pacing through the locker room. And I was listening to the crowd, and whenever it was really loud, I was like, all right, cool, like, we're doing good. And then it got really quiet for a while, and I was like, oh, man. And I was like, screw it. And I watched, like, literally the last drive. I went into we have like a catering room in the locker room. It was me and three people that work for the catering company and the concussion doctor, and we're watching the last play. And I don't even know any of these people. And, you know, obviously Diggs gets the walk-off touchdown, and we just start celebrating like crazy. Like, I'm hugging these people. I don't even know.
I saw you in the tunnel.
Yeah,
I saw you in the tunnel.
I mean, we're
do
joking.
You remember the play?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now you do. But
no, I as soon as that play happened, my concussion just went away. I felt like I just completely, like, just, like, was back to normal. But, yeah, it's like people I didn't even know. We just looked at each other. We're just hugging, jumping up and down, throwing water bottles. I mean, it was unreal. And then I obviously just ran, like, to the tunnel to, you know, go greet my teammates. Pretty overwhelming. Probably as far as, like, my athletic career, I mean, I've never experienced anything like that.
Drew, being a part of the defensive secondary, you have seen the game change so much to the advantage of the wide receiver. If you were able to make a rule change, what would it be?
This is kind of a touchy subject because I got suspended this year for an illegal hit.
On a defenseless receiver.
It's like, I don't know. They're trying to do the best they can to keep it safe. I see plays every week that I think were far worse than what I did. And it's hard because you just have guys that are going so fast and reacting so fast. You can only do so much. It's hard to say. I think they're doing, for the most part, what they can to try to implement rules to keep it safe. But
it's hard. I mean, I think it's hard when you're going at that rate of speed, especially you can't be responsible when a receiver ducks his head. I mean, the play goes bang, bang. Receiver drops his head. You're targeting him from this point.
Oh, don't worry. I said all this on my appeal.
Yeah.
We're just trying to help get this thing squared away. I actually had an appeal call. I got fined the week before. Then the next week, I had another appeal call for the illegal hit. I was like, all right, come on, guys. Like, we just did this last week. It's the same story. I was aiming for his chest. He went down. Like, what do you want me to do? You know?
Well, I saw you in the airport in L.A., and we had a conversation. The range of emotion that we felt, the disbelief, how would you characterize where you are now?
I made this analogy to you in the airport. It's like you're playing a video game since the spring. You started in April or May. You started, and you beat every level, and you beat every level all the way. And then you finally lost, and the game doesn't save your spot. You have to start the game all the way back over. That's exactly what it's like. You put in all this work for months to get there, and you get so close to beating the final level and beating the game, and you lose. And you have to start all the way back over and start from scratch because no team is ever the same from year to year. You can't really say, like, oh, we were good last year, like, we'll be good again. That's not how it works in the NFL. You have to literally start over from scratch. So it's definitely a rebuilding process mentally, emotionally, physically for sure. But that's what we signed up for. That's how it is in the NFL. You got to start over and you got to get back to the grind and get rolling again.
Who are, as we wind down here, who are a few of the characters on this current football team? Locker room guys who keep stuff going in the locker room, stuff from a PG version that we can talk about. Who are a couple of those guys?
Well, Everson's obviously very entertaining.
Yeah, that's a given.
Because Everson has like a few personalities. So like, you don't know which Everson you're going to get that day.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's like, and then you kind of like we got the fun Everson today, or you're like, we got the grumpy Everson today, or like, you just never know. He's an incredible storyteller. You know, there's times where you get tired. You're going from meetings, practice, more meetings, lifting weights, and like, you just need a pick-me-up, and we'll just be like, Everson, tell us a story, man. He'll be like, all right. And he'll start telling us a story. I don't know. We have fun. We got a bunch of good dudes in the locker room. Everyone gets along. Like I said, like nobody's like selfish or it's all about them. You know, we'll turn on some music, dance in the locker room, make it fun. You can't complain.
Can you cut a rug? Can you step? Can we get some music in here?
No, don't put me on the spot like that. I can't do it right now. I got to warm up first. I got to stretch. That's how intense it gets.
All right.
I gotta warm up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Folks, the last thing that I'm going to say that this young man I have seen start on special teams, bust his butt year in and year out, and has grown into one of the top safeties in the National Football League. How about it for Mr. Andrew Sendejo?
Thank you.
Yeah. And you know what? One last thing. We also share the same birthday.
Oh, that's right.
September 9th.
Happy birthday. I was the first one to tell you for your next birthday, yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday to you, too. Yeah.
I already got it out of the way. I don't have to say it to you now. That was the first one.
Yeah, September 9th, years and years apart. Years apart.
That's right.
Folks, one more time. Andrew Sandejo.
Thank you.